Technorama episode 462, back to work.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
My lightsaber keeps turning off right in the middle of a battle. Can anyone take a look at it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener or viewer, I'm going to put that in sooner or later. It still says listener.
Both.
Yeah, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. As always, with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
You know, I'm tired. I just flew in, and boy, my arms are exhausted. No, what? I messed it up. No, I'm just...
You were just here in the studio yesterday.
Yes, I was. It was nice. It was a nice little trip.
Yep.
I have to say though, that drive to, I flew into Phoenix, drove to work in San Diego for the week, and then drove back. Now I got to tell you that's a long ride. It's not bad, but it's long.
Yeah. It's right on that border of should I fly or should I drive? Should I fly? Because it's about an hour flight. And by the time you add up getting to the airport, going through security, sitting in the terminal, going just on both ends, renting your car, it's right at that breaking point where you say, well, I could have driven and taken a full-size suitcase for free, get reimbursed for the mileage instead of getting, what about... 400 airline miles, which really doesn't add up to anything after 10 trips.
A pack of cookies.
And it's, if you've got the time, it's not a bad drive. It's about 5.5 hours. So it, enough about the travel. Thank you for joining us. It was good to see you as always. And we hope you had a safe return. Uneventful, a little bit of weather going in there. We mentioned that on the pre-show banter on the YouTube stream.
No, it wasn't too bad.
Good. And we will likely see you again here in May, right?
Yes, that's right.
Did you come back for our annual work conference?
That's Mark going your to be... calendars someday, sometime in May, maybe.
And, beautiful listener, I am going on a whirlwind global tour. So if you happen to be in London or Bangalore, first time I'm going to Bangalore, or Sydney, first time I'm going to Sydney, in late February or early March, let me know. I'd like to do a meetup. I don't know how much time I'm going to have for any of these social activities, but if there's an evening, maybe we can sit down and have a pint or something and a good chin wag, as they say, in down under.
Chin wag?
Yeah, okay. I'm learning the lingo as I go.
Better.
Speaking of going, let's go on with the rest of the show. Coming up in this episode, we have stabbings, shootings, searches. This is starting to sound like real news. So,
yeah,
it's not.
Evening news.
We got a schlug of them, to say the least. Yes.
Schlug? Is that a metric
schlug?
A schlug.
It's a metric schlug.
I'm free. I'm open.
Oh, damn. Oh, I love turducken. I've done turducken for 2 years now. I don't remember what those are. How do we get on food? Is this the Food Network?
We can stretch anything into Technorama.
I know. Chuck is losing it. He needs vacation time.
Let's promote him to manager.
You keep talking. I'll keep listening.
Well, there goes that.
Greetings, programs. This is Jay Mayer, the Tron Guy, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
I was hoping Mr. Minigay would show up so we could tell him how long ago we recorded that.
how long it, that's been, that was a long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. Almost 10 years. It was April 10th, 2006.
Were you in his state? Wait a minute. 2006.
No, I think we were interviewing him or something. We interviewed everybody.
We had him via Skype or something.
You could tell from the audio quality that he was coming in via Skype.
Yes. I remember the conversation just like it was yesterday, as you can tell.
So many things have changed. That was even before we came out here on vacation and bought our timeshare. That was a long dang time ago. So many things have changed. All right. We have some feedback. We asked you last week, hey, what are your predictions for 2016? You heard some of them in the studio. We also heard some on the social media. Well, we got one.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Are we going to bother to sing this time?
Are we going to open it up? Is that what you asked?
Yeah. We're going to open it up.
Reach right in and pull one out.
Ed McMahon.
Those letters. I love those letters.
I lost again.
Oh, boy. Mailman. Mail today.
Didn't win the Powerball. Let's see what's in this one. We asked you what your predictions were for 2016, and nothing was off the radar. Justin wrote, and he says, we're going to find out if virtual reality and augmented reality gaming is really the game changer it could be, or if it's just another fad again.
Mm. I don't think, you know what, I honestly think it's borderline fad right now. I mean, to something usable.
Needs to be cost effective. Needs to have a killer app to it.
Well, we talked about not necessarily
you
games.
You were showing me Google Cardboard yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was showing you Google Cardboard. Now, the cardboard, hold on a minute.
He's got his cardboard. Watch the headphones.
Yeah, I got it right here. Yeah, pull it right over here. I mean, you know, this
so you can
is
take
cost-effective.
Any, the idea is, I hadn't seen this, or I've heard a few things on the news feeds about it, but you can take any panoramic picture, stick it in this app, correct?
There you go. Looks like R2-D2.
And you make this cardboard box. Now, did they send you the box?
Yeah, so this is how it folds. Okay. Yes,
and
this is how it folds.
Slap dash your Nexus 6 in there?
See, look, it opens up, and it has some Velcro in the right spots.
Sorry for the listeners only if you're not viewing on the YouTubes.
Yeah, and there's a spot to put your phone in.
Okay,
I got it a little tight because there's no phone in
there.
Now,
how's the focal length? I mean, they sent you the lenses in there to make it...
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
See the lenses? There's glass lenses in there.
He holds it up to the camera. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's glass lenses in there. Yeah. You can kind of get an idea. You put your phone in. There's a little flap right here. You can slide your phone in. There's a rubber band to provide friction so the phone doesn't slide.
And the accelerometer detects when you're turning left and turning right and looking up and looking down. Is that what the deal is?
That's right. So everything's using just your phone. There's others that have NFC, I think, for the button. Yeah. So you can... have more of a button kind of thing. But see, there's a little button right on the side. This one has this capacitive mesh on it. So when I can touch the screen. Whenever there's input needed, I can touch the screen and it would either go back or forward, or I can point something.
Okay.
So you get a little feedback with it. And yeah, it's a little bit primitive, but I think the payoff is well worth it because it costs nothing. You can make your own. They have the plans.
Right, right. I've seen the cardboard ones where people made one of their own box.
Sure, and you can make your own. Didn't cost anything. The phone is the utility. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Useful? I don't know. Depends, but definitely a lot of fun.
Can you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Keith Lane just texted me or messaged me, and let him know how he can find the stream. Just go to our website. If he's probably not watching this, or maybe he is, www.chuckchat.com/technorama/ We are watching on YouTube in case you have your phone with you. Great.
Yeah. So if you go to,
go to the website,
YouTube and search for,
watch now. Technorama podcast. You search for it.
Search for Technorama podcast, you'll find it. I thought I had a link on the website for it as well.
Okay. There is a big badge in the upper right. This is Watch Now.
Yeah, it takes you to the live.
That's what I copied the link and slapped that on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Speaking of reality, we got a postcard from Yorga. And we're going to show that to you if you're watching the viewer. Keith says, we found it.
Okay. There you go.
He sent a postcard from Stockholm, Sweden. And on the back it says, greetings from the land of IKEA. Love it.
Of course. Yeah.
I love it.
Now, if we can just get out of Sweden.
For years, For years, Yorga has been sending me postcards, and then it took me a little while to join in the fun and return them back. So a couple of years ago, while I was hopping around the globe to Singapore and elsewhere, I would send him some. I think I got one from London and Zurich, and there was a period in early 2013 where I hit like 7 countries and would also send him from family vacations and elsewhere. And we've got this postcard exchange program going on. It's kind of fun. And now I send some to Craig and I send some to my daughters. And the mailing list is getting bigger every time I take a trip. I got to stop in the airport. Oh, I think I'm up to 6 now.
I try to remember, but I'm not as good as you are. Or Yorga.
The best time to remember is when you get off the plane. I know your head isn't exactly clear, especially on international travel.
Mm-hmm.
But then
get them at the airport?
Yeah. Then you can mail them from the hotel. You can say, hey, could you mail these for me? And they say, sure, we'll charge you, you know, 60 pence or 5 marks or whatever the local thing is. And the hotel will address them and stamp them and send them out for you. So you don't have to worry about finding a mailbox. Where can I pick up some postage? Just leverage the hotel. That's my travel tip for today, and that is our feedback. We actually did get real letter in the letter bag.
Wow, real.
We'd love to hear from you.
Snail mail from the wind.
Send us an email first, and we'll send you our postal mail, and maybe you can let us know parts unknown where you are, and we'd be happy to send one back if we can get our heads on straight when we get there. So, yes.
Hey, I need to update Yorga with my new address.
Yes, you do.
I bet that... You know what? I haven't gotten a car from him in a while. I bet that might be why. Like, you know how long it would take to return email or turn mail back to wherever he's at?
It's hard to remember all the places to update your address online. And
I thought I thought I covered my bases, and every once in a while I go, oh, my credit card for work. I got an email from work that the bill was returned. I looked at it. There's the address. It's the wrong address. I'm like, man.
I even hit one twice. I was, where was I? Sunday? Yeah, because you went to San Diego on Monday, and I went to check out the mail. Didn't pick it up Saturday. Maybe it was Saturday. When did you get here? Saturday, right?
Sunday.
Originally. You got here Sunday. Monday, we went to pick up the mail, I think, before you left. No, because you left Monday morning. Anyway, remember I went out to the mailbox, and I said,
oh. You checked it on Sunday.
I just changed the address for the college alumni mailing list because I thought, we forgot it. I haven't heard from them in a while. I'm not getting invited to any local hockey game meetups and other associated things. So I went online and changed it that morning. That afternoon, I had a mail in the mailbox. Wow, that worked really well. So I must have done it already.
Yeah, that's right. Twice. Wow, that was quick.
Let's do the history thing. We don't need to roll for initiative. Because there's nobody else here.
Since I'm the one and you're the zero.
Oh, I rolled a 0 on a D20?
Yeah, that means you go first.
On this day in history for January 13th, 2016, this is the 13th day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 350 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 1830 that the Great Fire of New Orleans begins.
And the first public radio broadcast takes place. A live performance of the opera Cavaliera Rusticana is sent out over the airwaves from the Metropolitan Air... I know Metropolitan Opera House in New York, on this date in 1910.
You must have been thinking of like Metropolis.
I kept wanting to say Metropolis.
He's in the comic books, folks.
That's right.
The candidate of sciences degree is established in the Soviet Union 82 years ago today. I think I'm going to go for that.
Yeah. And Henry Ford patents the plastic automobile. Wow, really? Which is 30% lighter than a regular car on this date in 1942.
I wonder if that the Henry Ford, or maybe he was much older than when he was when he came out with the assembly line thing. Anyway, January 13, 1942, first use of an aircraft ejection seat by a German test pilot in a Heinkel HE-280 jet fighter.
And that same date in 1960, the Gulag system of forced labor camps in the Soviet Union is officially abolished.
And there wasn't much rejoicing. Yay. Yeah. Johnny Cash performs live at Folsom State Prison on this date in 1968.
I got the Folsom Prison Blues. Space Shuttle Endeavour heads to for space for the third time, and STS-54 launches from the Kennedy Space Center on this date in 1993.
That same date in the year 2000, Bill Gates resigns as CEO of Microsoft.
And the passenger cruise ship, Costa Condor.
Costa Concordia.
Yes, man.
Remember that? It was just 3 years ago.
I know, it sat on its side for a long time.
Yeah.
It sinks off the coast of Italy. There are 32 confirmed deaths among the 4,232 passengers and crew on this date in 2012.
So that means the ratio's on their side. 4,200 got out alive. That's a good day, right? Only 32 people. No, I'm not making light of the situation.
I think it'd be a better day if they didn't have any.
Happy birthday goes out in the state to French astronomer and academic Félix Tesserand, born on this date in 1845.
And born on the same date in 1864, Wilhelm Wien.
German physicist. Wien, like wiener.
You wean him off of it?
He's a wiener.
German physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate.
The founder of the Fuller Brush Company, Alfred Fuller, ding dong, was born on this date in 1885.
And also born on this date in 1919, actor and producer Robert Stack.
I have a Robert Stack audio clip at the end. Most memorable role for him, for me, was in Airplane.
Yeah, that's right.
The creator of Paddington Bear, English soldier and author Michael Bond is 90 years young today.
And actor, director, Charles Nelson Reilly would have been 85 today.
What was he on? Hollywood Squares? He was the center square all the time?
That's right. Yes, he was.
Indian commander, pilot, and astronaut Rakesh Sharma is 67.
And happy birthday to Julia Louis-Dreyfus on this day in 1955.
What?
She is 55.
Turns 55. And finally, Legolas, the man who seemingly never runs out of arrows, except he did once. Actor and producer Orlando Bloom is 39.
He can also run on snow.
And water.
Yep, almost. Yeah.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 13th, 2016. Bye, marching band.
Yeah. So, Jesus Orlando Bloom.
Jesus. Not quite. Hey, where's the... there it is. Had the wrong faders up.
Bad news, fancy men.
Oh, it is bad news when you're wearing a quote-unquote stab-proof vest and you get stabbed.
Stupid.
Wouldn't you think that you'd use a ham or a pork shoulder or some other ballistics gel, maybe?
Well, tell the reader what happened.
When a reporter from Israel volunteered to test a stab-proof vest, he probably didn't expect to actually get stabbed. Sadly for him, especially, he did. It doesn't, however, speak badly of the vest itself. Yaniv Montacchio, wow, I got one. A vice president.
Sounds Russian and Japanese.
You know, I'm going to take a little side note here. We work with a number of people from Israel. Is it just me or does Israel sound a lot like French when you're listening to it?
I guess so, sort of, yeah.
Am I just an uneducated American who can't tell? If I heard two people speaking and I didn't know if they were speaking Israel or French, I wouldn't know if they were speaking Israel or French. That was profound, wasn't it? If I didn't know they weren't, I would. Anyway, Yaniv Montacchio, a vice president of FMS Enterprises that makes the vest, managed to wield his knife in an area of the Etam Lockover's body, which wasn't actually protected by the vest. Oops. The Lockover wasn't badly hurt. He received stitches for the wound and has since been discharged from the hospital. You can watch him on the video that's in the show notes. The guy's going, stab, 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 right in basically the center of the back, and the vest is working well. Then I don't know if it was attention was distracted or something, but he goes, stab, stab, miss, and you can see the poor reporter flinch, and he maintains composure and puts on a brave smile.
Actually, I just like the thumbnail they have for the YouTube video there. It's like they're getting ready, and you know it's not going to work right. It just looks like it spells disaster.
Yeah. Poor guy. Poor guy. So we saw that and went, next Ouch. Time, do a little more testing.
And yeah. How about with something other than yourself?
Yeah,
I like the idea of wrapping a ham in a protective vest.
Pigs in a stab-proof blanket.
Yeah. Bulletproof. By the way, mention skipping ahead just a little bit here. Not necessarily in our show notes, but over there on the left of Gizmodo's site, they have like a little thumbnails of some other stuff they have.
Yes.
And there's I've seen this today. But there's a girl riding one of the hoverboards around the edge of her pool, and she falls off of it, and it turns and promptly goes right in the water.
Oh.
And then she goes right in after it.
That's an expensive hoverboard mistake.
She falls down. She realizes what happens, and she just goes, I'm going in after it.
Too late. It's already too late. Well, I did mention bullets because I was pulling up the next page here. Would you like to, we had our stabbings. Now we have our shootings. Would you like to take this? Because I think this is a fascinating story from a scientific perspective.
Scientists build tiny microcannons that fire drug-filled nano bullets into protective vests.
On a ham.
Yeah, I added the vest part there. So the medical profession has long dreamed of an ideal delivery system for getting drugs to wherever in the body they're needed most. Beer seems to be pretty
effective. Please inject some muscle relaxants into certain points on my back where I have knots.
Oops, I'm sorry, sir. It went into your butt.
Well, now my butt cheeks have fallen asleep. All right, finish reading the story.
I was thinking of places you don't want muscle relaxants. Nanoscientists at the University of San Diego. Hey, I was just there. I could have checked the story out. Could have come up with a novel means of doing so. Why not fire the drugs at the intended targets using tiny little cannons?
I can see Craig trying to drive back from San Diego with butt cheeks asleep.
Actually, by the end of that trip, my butt cheeks were asleep. All right. Early in the 20th century, a German physician named Paul Ehrlich came up with the idea of focusing on the delivery of just the right dose of therapeutic drug at a specific target, rather than waiting for it to gradually work its way through the body and via the bloodstream. This gets more of the drugs to where they're needed most, much more quickly, and fewer nasty side effects. He called it the magic bullet.
Isn't that what killed Kennedy?
And Lincoln. So, Joseph Wang...
At the same time.
Very carefully. Yeah, it went and it twisted and it went through time and hit Lincoln. So, Joseph Wang and Sadlik Esner, both nano engineers at UCSD, took the notion of magic bullet literally when they decided to build the microcannons that exploit ultrasounds to shoot teensy bullets. Well, they're looking for words to describe small teensy bullets containing therapeutic agents deep into the diseased tissue. They described their work in a recent paper in the Journal of ACS Nano.
This sounds very close to a hypo syringe from Star Trek.
Yeah.
They don't actually use a needle, but they just hold it up. You don't even have to take your shirt off. And it's, psst, there you go. I've injected you with Stokoline or whatever the magic drug that they wanted to put in you was.
Well, don't they kind of have these already? I know you're talking about the hyper syringe, but don't they have those where you just, it blows air and opens up your pores and sends the...
You don't want to be blowing air into the bloodstream, though. That'll give you...
No, your pores. No, it doesn't. You know, it just opens your pores and, you know, shoots the whatever
what
in there.
Pores? Your sweat pores?
Your skin pores.
The only pores on your skin are the sweat pores, the sweat glands, and
I'm not
like
a medical
hairs.
Guy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Clearly, we're not in the medical profession. We should have got Lisa back in here.
But I remember that I want to say it was like the Army or something when they were inoculating, you know, soldiers that it would blow air, open up the pores, and then it would shoot the whatever you're trying to deliver.
Why do I have visions of that big plastic syringe that they used to use on those infomercials, how to inject herbs and garlic and things into the turkey? And it just left this big blob of turkey. Yeah, we're going to open up a pore and stick a bunch of garlic and thyme and rosemary in there.
Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. Let's put some potpourri scent in here.
You baste while you relax. Let's do the birthday thing.
I'm trying to.
You go find that.
Actually, I do know. I do know a doctor on Facebook. I could probably ask him. But there, it's a thing. I'm telling you, it's a thing.
You find out.
It sounds like what they're doing.
You could have asked him at UCSD, but you're not there anymore.
No, I wasn't there to begin with.
I found us a birthday song.
What?
I found us a birthday song.
Is it the one we used to use?
No.
All right.
What day is today? It's Nibbler's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake. And you smell like one, too.
Nice.
That's our listener birthday calendar music until we find something better. We have... On January 14th, along with my brother and my dearly departed grandmother, Glenn Tolar. And on the 15th is Ralph Whitfield, a.k.a. Goofy Ralph. And Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina from Canada, is on the 17th. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, you can get there. We'll wish you a happy birthday anyway. Happy birthday. And
happy
go to
birthday.
We've got misery and despair, people dying everywhere. And it's your birthday. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name on the birthday calendar. And we will wish you a happy birthday when it gets to be your birthday. But first, we're going to take a brief break and come back with even more stranger stories than what we had before. Because we've got Hacks and Strange Stories, Remember When... The thanking of the patrons, Media Corner, and more. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host, Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
We're getting instant feedback from our viewers on the stream. Charles Nelson Riley was on Match Game.
Yes.
Yes. And you are right. There was a hypo spray kind of thing.
That's it.
It's been confirmed.
See?
Wow.
Not so crazy now, am I?
I love this live streaming. We should do it more often. This would be so much easier if Ben and Keith were in the audience. I mean, in the studio.
I know.
We could just invite them on to a hangout. Then they could talk and they could... Never mind. It's getting too complex. We'll figure that out for another time. Hacks and Strange Stories is first up. Hey, how many credit cards do you have, Craig?
Credit cards?
Yes.
Counting my debits?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
You could even throw in your loyalty cards and you're probably nowhere near what this guy's got.
Yeah. Throwing those in, 12 to 15...
Okay, so the coin or the plastic or some of these newfangled cards that can consolidate it are pretty much up your alley, that they could bring some value and skinny down your wallet. This guy has a wallet the size of a pickup truck. Mr. Plastic Fantastic is a man who has 1,497 valid credit cards. Valid credit cards, mind you. I hope there's no annual fees on these, because working up a credit score for Walter Kavanaugh has got to be a mathematical nightmare. The man has nearly 1,500 valid credit cards to his name and holds the Guinness record for the most credit cards.
Hey, this begs the question, why?
Because he wants the Guinness World Record.
Okay.
The title Mr. Plastic.
He can afford it.
Exactly. And I'll bet every time someone calls, he goes, "Hi, I'm from credit company XYZ. We'd like to consolidate your debt and put it on our credit card." I told him we already got one.
Yeah, I'd like to see him boil down 1,500 cards to none.
He better have a database so he knows. I mean, look at the names on some of them. Fina. El Pomo. What? I mean, these... How? I'm surprised some of these companies haven't gone out of business. He probably gets all depressed. He goes, oh, man, I got to go get another one to replace that one.
he signs up for credit cards like I did social networks back in the day.
I would love to be this guy at the restaurant and hand him a credit card. Just some here. Random thing that, I'm sorry, we don't take that. Here, try this one. Hey, I'm sorry, we don't take that.
He takes his wallet out and like several fall on the floor while he's going through them. And I just take one of these.
Mr. Plastic Fantastic, a title conferred on him by Guinness World Records, is also the proud owner of the world's longest wallet. It stretches 250 feet, weighs 38 pounds, and can hold 800 credit cards. Oh, only half of what he's got. He only uses it to carry a few cards while the rest are safely stowed in a bank safe deposit box, or several of them. Kavanaugh started collecting credit cards in the late 1960s. Me and a buddy in Santa Clara, California, made a silly bet. The guy who could collect the most credit cards by the end of the year would win dinner, he recalled. I was fresh from the Peace Corps, and I got 143 cards by the end of the year. My friend gathered 138. Oh, so who's Mr. Plastic Fantastic? Not so fantastic.
I was just thinking, his friend probably said, yeah, I'll show him. We'll make a bet. And he'll actually be the one losing because he's got more cards.
After winning that bet, Kavanaugh decided to simply keep going with his bizarre collection. Everybody's got to have a collection or a hobby, I guess. He got credit cards from gas stations, airlines, bars, and even Texas ice cream store, all with varying limits.
See, now he's just rubbing it into his friend. He won the bet. Now he's just like rubbing his nose in it.
Take that, loser.
You know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to show you one day.
He's got some of these are as low as $50 limits. What kind of credit card with a $50 limit? But come on. That's not a whole lot of credit. That's more like a gift card.
And I thought it said, was it limit or fee?
Yeah, all with varying limits, some as low as $50.
Oh, I see.
He got a few antique cards back from when credit cards were made of paper and aluminum. And he recently inherited a sterling silver card from the Mapes Hotel, Reno's first hotel casino. It's a collector's item with, quote, unlimited credited privileges. Ooh, I'd like to go to Vegas with unlimited credit privileges.
Wow, there you go. Uh-huh. I'll take it.
So thank you, Mr. Plastic Fantastic. We also have a little oops. You know, Google Translate, we were having fun with that. Was that Friday night in the Mexican grocery store?
Looking at interesting things.
And, you know, there a lot of people are familiar with Google Translate online. They'll type in a phrase if you go to Google.com/translate. Yeah.
And by the way, we were screwing around with the camera in the Mexican store, looking at the packages and stuff. And sometimes it would work. Other times you would see it flip between words.
Yeah. It couldn't quite translate pollo into chicken right all the time. It would, it was fun. It doesn't work so well on handwritten things too.
Snake.
Google finally fixed a bug. They have some good news. Earlier this week, Ukrainian media noticed a slight glitch wherein Google Translate was giving Mordor as a translation for Russian Federation.
I'm sorry. What's the
What's the difference?
Yeah.
The good news is that they fixed the problem. Along with the Tolkien problem, Russians was coming up as occupiers. And Lavrov, the last name of the Russian foreign minister, was being translated as sad little horse. All of these problems, Google said, happened, quote, automatically, which suggests that whatever code Google Translate works on either has a weird sense of humor or it picks up synonyms from metaphor and simile used online. And that pairing these things was popular enough for Google Translate to recognize it as a pattern. While it's possible for users to suggest alternative translations, that's supposedly not what happened in this case. Google said in a statement, Google Translate is an automatic translator. It works without the intervention of human translators, using technology instead. We always work to correct these as quickly as possible when they are brought to our attention.
Can you imagine there's like a room full of people and somebody goes, oh, they're firing up the app. And they have to start typing and looking up stuff.
That's like the Cisco commercials. I'm going to launch an app. She's launching an app.
Whoa. Yeah, she's launching an app. All right.
Oh, I'll get access to all our customers. She's giving us access to all our customers' data. Business is good. Shout out to the chat room. How many we got on the chat room tonight, dear? Hey, a whopping two. Woohoo. And we're getting live feedback from them. If you want to be on the chat room and watch this live, we start up at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. That P messed me up. 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday night. However, I mentioned this upcoming travel. There are going to be a few Sunday nights like next Sunday where we will not be doing a show. So we will not be broadcasting on the 17th. You can then catch up on your back shows or other podcasts as you see fit. But we want to see you around. Just watch the Technorama group on Facebook or watch at Technorama Podcast. Are we Technorama or Technorama Podcast on Twitter? Can't remember anymore.
I think we got that one such a long time ago that we went with.
We're going to have to check. But watch us on Twitter, too.
Technorama.
He's looking.
Let me type it in.
You do that. I'm going to look at the Remember When music. Because I can look at music.
You can see music?
Yeah. It's a bunch of dots on lines.
It's Technorama on Twitter.
It is Technorama on Twitter. Because on YouTube, it's Technorama Podcast. Hey, guess what somebody resurrected?
What?
Well, read the headline.
Oh, you want me to read it? Hold on, let me open it. They resurrected an old computer. And what did that old computer hold?
Actually, 200 floppy disks.
Yeah, actually, it was 200 floppy disks of not just any floppy disks. There were floppy disks. From the Star Trek creator,
careful,
Gene Roddenberry.
That's right. Call the engine room and get Scotty on the bridge.
Yeah.
When the long-lost words of Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry were found on 5 1/4-inch floppies, yes, floppy disks, it would have taken Starfleet-level engineering effort to recover them. Roddenberry, who died in 1991, apparently left behind a couple shoebox-sized containers of these big floppy disks. We have some on the screen, 8-inch, 5 1/4, and 3.5. Yes, those little 3.5-inch.
Are they just for? Are those actual pictures, or are those
I think that's just a sample picture. I wish I had my 8-inch that was still around. I had one or two in my file cabinet at my old job. A problem? As any techie knows, floppy drives went out of fashion around the turn of the 21st century. Even if you bought a used 5 1/4-inch floppy drive off of Cyrano Jones on Space Station K7.
Here, I got something for you.
Hey, friend.
Yes, right.
You wouldn't be able to read the files on a modern computer, let alone plug in the drive. Roddenberry's estate knew of two possible computers the author had used to write those final words. One had been sold off in the early charity auction, and the second wouldn't boot when plugged in. Oh, dang.
Yeah.
The headline, and then the next paragraph is, the computer's dead, Jim.
Yeah.
Rather than accept the no-win scenario, Roddenberry's estate turned to Drive Savers data recovery. The lack of an operative computer was less than ideal, but Mike Cobb, director of engineering at Drive Savers, was optimistic, considering the company's ability to recover data from most forms of computer media known today. According to Cobb, the majority of the disks were 1980s-era 5 1/4-inch double-density disks, capable of storing a whopping 160 kilobytes. That's kilobytes.
Wow. Or mind-blowing.
1/10 the capacity you can get on a $1 USB thumb drive today. 1/10? No. No. That would mean that'd be a 1.6 meg drive.
Is this the part of the show where we do math?
Anyway. Cobb said that few of the disks were formatted in DOS, but most of them were from an older operating system called CPM.
CPM.
That's what was running on that K-Pro we took apart in April.
Mm-hmm.
CPM, or Control Program for Microcomputers, was a popular operating system in the 1970s and early 80s that ultimately lost out to Microsoft's DOS. In the 70s and 80s, it was a wild west of disk formats and track layouts, Cobb said. The DOS recoveries were easy once the drive was located, but the CPM disks were far more work. Wow, how much time and money did they sink into this thing?
I don't know.
I
would imagine you should be able to get a system that would kind of read this thing. What? I mean, go to the Computer History Museum. Surely they've got something they can
fix. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the big reveal. All told, Cobb said when the operating system files were excluded, about 2 to 3 megabytes of data was recovered from all 200 floppies.
which had what on it? What did it say?
They may seem like a minuscule amount of today. Yeah, the lost script. So what's actually on the disc? Lost episodes of Star Trek? The secret script for a new show? Or as popular science once speculated, a patent for a transporter? Unfortunately, we don't know. Cobb ain't saying. Understandably, when Data Savers is contracted to recover data, it's also bound by the rules of confidentiality. PC World reached out to the Roddenberry estate, but was told it had no comment on the data or its plans for the newly discovered writing of Gene Roddenberry. Wow, what a challenge. I had to do something similar, but not quite at this scale. Years ago with a lost data format and some 8mm tapes, I believe they were, onto computers that barely functioned and had to be networked on an old Apollo token ring. Years after I had shut this thing down, and once I retrieved the data, I swore I'd never do it again and chucked out the computer so it couldn't be done again.
You know, I think I did the same similar thing. I don't want to say it was with zip drives.
Hey.
Yeah, I had a drive that died, but I had the disks and I had to get something off of it. Was it
a DOS operating? Was it DOS that was the operating system that you were retrieving it to and from?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
It was which like made it a little more standard.
Not DOS per se, but like FAT32. So yeah, you should be able to get to it easy enough. No, it was like zip drives were there. They were really popular for a short period of time. You know, and then all of a sudden they just kind of faded away.
Speaking of a short amount of time, we've only had our Patreon page up for a short amount of time since the last episode. And we have a modest collection of patrons. Thank you very much. I would now like to play the...
Oh, we got Patreon music?
We have Patreon music. Thank you very much, Kyle Nishioka, patron number one. Mike Wills, Steve Tarian, Saturday Morning Media, Chad D., and Alexis Duran for your patronage and donations. Very much appreciated. We're not discounting the people who are still donating to the tip jar on a monthly basis. Thank you very much. If you can do either, because Craig's going to get us a Patreon button on the webpage at chuckchat.com/technorama. So you can do either a one-time PayPal donation, a little monthly micropayment through PayPal, or Patreon. So I'd say that our initial week was very successful. And if you want to be a Patreon member, we would like to see you there also. There's different levels of donation.
That's right. Yeah. And we're certainly on our way to retirement now.
No. This is not the quit your day job thing we quit. But it does help offset the cost. We had a rather expensive software upgrade that we had to handle this past fall. We've got equipment that needs maintaining. We've got hosting bills. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
And beer to buy. And, oh, wait. Did I say that?
And no music to play. Well, some people show up. Oops, that was a sudden quit to the music. If some people show up and join us for Dragon Con, we'll treat there too. So thank you very much. Okay, where are we? Media Corner? Well, then we better play that next.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the Media Corner.
It's the Media Corner. The Media Corner. Miss the Media Corner. I'm sorry, I was making a new theme song for it.
You almost sounded, you must, wow, this is scary that you did that. Because it sounded like you were singing the Ace of Spades from Motorhead, and you know, Lemmy just died.
No, that was not what I was doing.
It sounded that the tone you had, because that's about, that's what I was going to say next, is Lemmy, lead singer from Motorhead, passed away, and they also discovered four new elements on the periodic table. And they want one of them named after Lemmy, called Lemmium. And of course, it's a heavy metal, which I think is totally appropriate and would be really cool. Right.
Yes.
Not that I'm an uber Motorhead fan. The Ace of Spades is the only song I know. But
we can tell you're a big cool band. We can tell you're a big metalhead by looking at your long hair.
No, now I'm a skinhead.
Yeah, no.
We found a video on Geeks Are Sexy that is just adorable. Apparently, if you go to Disneyland, they have a little stage show with the stormtroopers and Darth Vader where you can come up and this man will direct you, direct your child, how to have a mock lightsaber battle. He'll say, okay, go for the head. And Darth Vader will, you know, put his lightsaber up in a blocking fashion. Now swing left and swing right. Well, this one little boy looks to be about 4 years old, and they dress him up in a Jedi uniform. Darth Vader gets up there and says, I've been waiting for you. And this boy starts swinging for the fences. He's going.
He's trying to put the ball out of the park.
He does not take any direction. You can hear the poor man who's supposed to be guiding this child. He says, all right, now swing left. And that was all he got out. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And this boy just will not stop. Finally, Vader has to back off. Two stormtroopers come in, lower your weapon. And he starts swinging nuts at them.
I know. He's obviously been trained.
He's doing well. Yeah, the force is strong with this youngling.
And what I like is the one stormtrooper that comes up there towards the end. He gets knocked down. I don't know if he actually gets knocked down
or if he's dying laughing. I think he was laughing.
I think he was dying laughing is what it was.
That's awesome. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. If you want to watch, it's probably 30 seconds or less. It's just hysterical. Cute little video. Probably should have shared that on Facebook, but it made it in there. Also news from, this is a little bad news. Good news, bad news kind of thing.
Yeah. More like a compliment backslap kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, when you say Tales from the Crypt, most people immediately think of the Crypt Keeper. Welcome to the Crypt. He didn't have the most screen time, but the gross, frightening, cheeky host of the 90s HBO anthology series was undoubtedly the star, and he probably won't be back for the remake. The story starts this past Thursday when it was revealed that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong will produce a new version of the show for TNT sometime in the future as part of the 2-hour block of horror programming, which was weird unto itself. Then horror website Bloody Disgusting, love that name. That'd be a good band name. reported that the Crypt Keeper won't be part of the show because HBO still owns the rights to the character. Dang.
Wait, how can they own the character and not like the show?
Or the title. Yeah, I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying?
Well, it said it right there. Tales from the Crypt is based on the 1950s series of comic books, but they injected that character into it. There was a Crypt Keeper, but he didn't look like the one we know from HBO. That Crypt Keeper was created for the show, hence the issue. Instead, this new show will be highlighted by an old man with a cane, wearing a hood, and keeping warm by a fireplace. Oh, FDR.
Keeping warm by a fireplace.
According to a report that's bolstered by this tweet from Jan Kesser, the voice of the HBO Crypt Keeper.
I'll go on record. Crypt Keeper, as we know him, is more popular than ever. It'd be a shame. A sham/shame not to have him host the show.
Yeah.
That's disappointing for sure. And there's more. The site also reports, unlike the HBO series, the current idea for the Tales from the Crypt to tell one single season-long story. I guess TNT didn't notice the plural of tale in the title. That story may be about voodoo in New Orleans as written by the team behind Hemlock Grove. If true, none of this is good news for the fans who were hoping for a bit of HBO nostalgia.
Yeah. You know, I always thought of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Tales from the Crypt was kind of like the Twilight Zone of horror. You know, they always had like a story and it had like, little shorts. They had little one stories here and there. I mean, it was a story per show or something like that. So it wasn't like a whole season long arc or nothing.
So I'd like to have Ben and Keith and Mike and some of the others actually, in the studio.
You know what this sounds like? They're trying to set something up to go against the, what's that show? American Horror Story.
Oh yeah. I couldn't watch more than about 2 episodes of the first season. It didn't resonate with me.
What I'm saying is, you know, I always thought of this as more of a Twilight Zone of horror where there was different stories. You had different actors, you know, prominent actors that you may know, kind of guest starring some of them. And that's what I thought was kind of fun. Right? And the crypt keeper screwing around during the breaks.
Thomas shows a blank chair. This is where Ben would be sitting.
A blank chair. Oh, well.
Speaking of blank chairs, we have a geek library story as well. From our Down Under correspondent, Doug from Australia. I love that music. I love that music. It just sounds like X-Files kind of stuff.
Hey, the geek library.
Don't revert. There's a new t-shirt. I should just have that. Don't revert.
Yeah.
The BOSS chair, and BOSS is an acronym. BOSS stands for Body Orifice Scanners.
What?
To be introduced in NSW prisons to combat contraband. Yes, you know where they smuggle in the drugs. An invasive body scan chair has been announced as the latest technology to help fight against the smuggling of contraband in a New South Wales prisons. Known as the BOSS chair, Body Orifice Security Scanner, the advanced body scanner is able to scan inmates and visitors for pieces of metal as small as a staple. NSW Corrective Services Commissioner Peter Severin said the chair-shaped scanner will be used to prevent contraband getting into prisons. Quote, what the equipment does is basically detect any kind of metal right down to the size of a staple on a person or even inside a person. That is not my best Australian accent. With contraband getting smaller, and in particular mobile phones, we are increasingly more concerned about them getting into our system. I'm sure they're concerned about getting them into other people's systems as well. And this piece of equipment will assist us greatly. The scanner will be used in maximum and medium security prisons to search for SIM cards and mobile phones.
The probe is inserted rectally and...
No, you just using sit on a this thing.
Presence, I'm just kidding.
Sit on this. I guess it's easier than a full body scanner that they use at the airports, but maybe that doesn't go through you.
You know what? You know what this looks like? Half of a video game. What they should do is put like a screen up in front of you and controller, and while you're playing a game. That
video game look. I knew it looked...
Yeah, you're playing a game, they can be scanning your butt.
Bad Stairmaster or something. It just... The industrial design on this is pretty crude.
Well, we are talking about prisons here.
Well, that's true. Nothing ever happens there.
Not like you're giving your massage while you scan your rectum.
And that rounds out our stories of stabbings, shootings, and searches, and also rounds out the show. We're done. We want to hear from you, though. Our question this week is, what tech most changed your life? And if you say the BOSS chair, you win.
BOSS chair. I'd say my cell phone.
No, it was your Commodore 64 when you were a kid. Oh. Come on. That's a gimme.
Actually, I would say it was several computers.
Oh, okay. We want to hear yours. It's probably one of those early childhood things, but it could be more recent. It could be.
Hey, wouldn't you say the cell phone has changed a lot of people's
lives? It has, but you could also argue if somebody's got some medical condition that an advanced scanner, an ultrasound machine, or a cancer detection thing may have changed their life. I'm not saying it changed your career so much, but it could have changed your life or your lifestyle. It could be a blood sugar detector, if you've got diabetes. There's a lot of things that could have changed your life.
Or virtual reality porn.
Or a cardboard virtual reality thing. Yeah, I know what you're looking at in that Google cardboard thing, Craig.
Wait a minute, here we go.
He's turning into Grandpa Itchy from the Star Wars Holiday Special. Didn't need that visual. Let us know. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Or if you want to be a Patreon person, you can go to chuckchat.com/Patreon. And that will take you right to our Patreon page. It's easier than spouting out that URL. Easy to remember. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Send us a postcard. Or send us an email and we'll tell you where to send the postcard. It's a adventure game kind of thing. You get started, we'll get started.
Where in the world are Chuck and Craig?
You need to be a level 1 mage to get on the credit card list. Or not the postcard list. Jump mage. Back to the credit cards.
Yeah. We'll pass out credit cards.
Website is at chuckchat.com. You know the rest. thank you to all the people who are the Patreon people one more time, and the monthly tip jar people. Thanks to Mad Marv for his stories on the blog. Thanks to everyone who sent us links, like Doug Alex. If you want to send us links, hey, Facebook is a good place to start, or any of those other places we already told you about. And hey, those who joined us on the Hangout.
Yeah. Subchat.com/Patreon.
I said that. Yep.
You did say that.
Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give me a binary high five.
Maybe for once I should pay attention. Oh, you said 101. Okay, bye. 101.
What?
Yes.
You know, just like to fall in the mud and get kicked in the head by an iron boot. Of course you don't. No one does. It never happens. Sorry, Ted. It's a dumb question. Skip that.